भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
This is Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, fifth chapter, text 37. Om.
Namo
Bhagavate
Tubhyam
Vasudevaya
Dhimahi
Pradumna Pradumnaya
Aniruddhaya
Nama Sankarshanaya
Cha
Om namo Bhagavate Tubhyam.
Om namo Bhagavate Tubhyam.
Vasudevaya Dhimahi.
Vasudevaya Dhimahi.
Pradumnaya Niruddhaya.
Pradumnaya Niruddhaya.
Nama Sankarshanaya Cha.
Nama Sankarshanaya Cha.
Om namo Bhagavate Tubhyam.
Om namo Bhagavate Tubhyam.
Vasudevaya Dhimahi.
Vasudevaya Dhimahi.
Pradumnaya Niruddhaya.
Pradumnaya Niruddhaya.
Nama Sankarshanaya Cha.
Nama Sankarshanaya Cha.
Om namo Bhagavate Tubhyam.
Om namo Bhagavate Tubhyam.
Vasudevaya Dhimahi.
Vasudevaya Dhimahi.
Pradyumnaya Niruddhaya.
Pradyumnaya Niruddhaya.
Nama Sankarshanaya Cha.
Nama Sankarshanaya Cha.
Om namo Bhagavate
Tubhyam.
Vasudevaya Dhimahi. Pradyumnaya Niruddhaya.
Pradyumnaya Niruddhaya.
Nama
Sankarshanaya Cha. Om namo Bhagavate Tubhyam.
Vasudevaya
Dhimahi.
Pradyumnaya Niruddhaya.
Nama Sankarshanaya Cha.
Om namo Bhagavate Tubhyam.
Om namo Bhagavate Tubhyam.
Vasudevaya
Dhimahi.
Pradyumnaya Niruddhaya.
Nama Sankarshanaya Cha.
Chanting.
The sign of chanting.
The transcendental glory of the Lord.
The transcendental glory of the Lord.
Namaha.
Namaha.
Offering obeisances.
Offering obeisances.
Unto the Lord.
Unto the Lord.
Bhagavate.
Bhagavate.
Unto the personality of Godhead.
Unto the personality of Godhead.
Tubhyam.
Tubhyam.
Unto you.
Unto you.
Vasudevaya.
Vasudevaya.
Unto the Lord.
Unto the Lord.
The son of Vasudev.
The son of Vasudev.
Dhimahi.
Dhimahi.
Let us chant.
Let us chant.
Pradumnaya.
Pradumnaya.
Aniruddhaya.
Aniruddhaya.
And Sankarshanaya.
Sankarshanaya.
All plenary expansions of Vasudev.
All the expansions of Vasudeva.
Namaha.
Namaha.
Respectful obeisances.
Respectful obeisances.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Let us all chant the glories of Vasudeva, along with his plenary expansions, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Sankarshana. purport. According to Pancharatra, Narayan is the primeval cause of all expansions of Godhead. These are Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. Vasudev and Sankarshan are on the middle, left and right. Pradyumna is on the right of Sankarshan, and Aniruddha is on the left of Vasudev. And thus the four deities are situated. They are known as the four aides-de-camp of Lord Sri Krishna. This is a Vedic hymn or mantra beginning with Omkar, Pranava, and thus the mantra is established by the transcendental chanting process, namely Om Namo Dhimahi, etc. The purport is that any transaction, either in the field of fruitive work or in empiric philosophy, which is not ultimately aimed at transcendental realization of the Supreme Lord, is considered to be useless. Naradaji has therefore explained the nature of unalloyed devotional service by his personal experience in the development of intimacy between the Lord and the living entity by a gradual process of progressive devotional activities. Such a progressive march of transcendental devotion for the Lord culminates in the attainment of loving service of the Lord, which is called prema, in different transcendental variegatedness called rasas, tastes. Such devotional service is also executed in mixed forms, namely mixed with fruitive work or empiric philosophical speculations. Om Ajana Timirandhasya Kenanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupakada Mayam Tathati Shakadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Gaganatam Tamstam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Adam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Gopitarupyascha Kripa Santo Yevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Om Namo Bhagavate Tukram Vasudevaya Dhimahi Padumnaya Niruddhaya Nama Sankarshanaya Cha. So Narad Muni is ecstatically chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This Om addresses the Lord, the Personality of Godhead, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, I'm Om in all of the Vedas. Om ek itye kakshanam brahma vyaharan mahamanusmara yaprayati subhadpavam yati nastya prasangshaya. In the 8th chapter, the person who chants this Omkar, Om itye kakshanam brahma, this one syllable Om, vyaharan mahamanusmara, and thinks of me, remembers me, yaprayati subhadpavam, he attains my nature. Yati nasti atra samshaya. No doubt about it. Sure thing. So, Om Namo, offering respects. That means the Lord is the personality of Godhead. We're the servants of the Lord. The relationship is established. Vasudevaya. Dhimahi is invoked for chanting Gayatri Mantra. Vasudevaya, Pradumnaya, Aniruddhaya, Sankarshanaya. To Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradumna, and Aniruddha. These are expansions of the Lord. This is an unusual feature from the Western point of view of the Vedic knowledge of, or you could say Vedic theology. They have God is one. And supposedly the Hindus have many gods. But at least from Bhagavad Gita, we understand that there's one personality of Godhead, Krishna, but he expands himself in many different forms. In the Christian viewpoint also, there's a Father, there's a Son, there's a Holy Ghost, they're all supposed to be the same Godhead, but they're three. So why limit to three? Here we've pushed it to four. And it can be any number, innumerable. Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamein Atishtanana Avatar Makabhara Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhava Paramam Bhuvanam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhuvanam. There's still only one personality of Godhead, but he has the capability to appear in innumerable forms, just as you have one sun, and it's appearing in so many water pots. You have a batch of water pots. These days we don't have water pots, but if you had a batch of water pots and they were all lying there in the sun, you look in each water pot and you see the sun. So the sun is one, and yet it's appearing in each pot. Or we say God is in everyone's heart. The Christians also say everyone practically acknowledges God is in everyone's heart. That means he's in a lot of different places at once. So Krishna can do that, and he can appear in different forms. Even in the Bible, he's what is that? A cloud by day and a fire by night. When in the Bible, you'll find that God was traveling with the people, and he was appearing before them as a cloud by day and a fire by night. And then later on, he showed up in a burning bush. So God has that capability. He can appear in all sorts of unusual ways. He can appear in a pillar. He can appear from the nostril of Brahma. He can appear from the mind of Vasudev and be transferred to the mind of Devaki and then appear in the four-handed form. These things are not difficult for the personality of God. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sri Sanatana Goswami about all these different forms, that the original personality of Godhead is Krishna. Then Krishna expands as Baldev. Baldev expands as Sankarshan. Then we get these gradual development, Narayan, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradumna, Aniruddha. Then you get a second Sankarshan, and gradually it comes to the Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu expands. Well, from the Mahavishnu, all the avatars expand. You get the Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Kshiradakshay Vishnu. In the spiritual sky, we also have innumerable Vishnu forms for the innumerable Vaikuntha planets. And still he's one personality of Godhead. Eka Brahma Tutiya Nasti. There's only one absolute truth, and there's no second. So Krishna is called Advaita. Advaita Machuta Manadi Manantarupa. He has Anantarupa, unlimited forms, and yet he's not two. We pushed it to four, but he's not even two. He's only one. Advaita, not two. Or Prabhupada's other translation, he's one without a second. There's no second person. Natat savascha vyadikascha drishyate. No one is seen equal to Krishna or greater than Krishna. That's the definition of God. If someone's greater than God, then he's God. And if someone's equal to God, then what's the meaning of being God? Then you have a plurality. So no one is greater, no one is equal, but he can expand himself in so many Vishnu forms. And Narada is offering his obeisances. Om Namo Bhagavate Tubhyam. Then, the context of all this is that Narada came and met Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva was sitting in his hermitage and performing his daily duties, but he was feeling despondent. And he was wondering, why am I despondent? I've followed all the processes for religious life. I've compiled all the Vedas. I've written the Puranas as supplementary literature. I've given Vedanta Sutra, so much. And still I'm not very happy. What is the reason? Then Narada Muni appeared on the scene and instructed him, my dear Prabhu, how do you expect to be happy? You've neglected the glorification of Krishna. You've got all these love stories, and you've written Mahabharata also, biggest book in the world, with so many Nala Damayanti, all this love stories and politics and war and intrigue and adventure and so many things, but you've practically neglected to glorify Krishna. In the Upanishads, you've kind of beat around the bush. In the Puranas, you've sometimes this god, sometimes that god. So you're just agitating people's minds with the idea of gradual elevation. You've missed the point. So you should glorify the personality of Godhead. And Narada Muni himself is giving the immediate example, Om Namo Bhagavate Tubhyam Vasudevaya Dhimahi. Pradunayani Rutaya Namo Sankarshanayacha. All glorifying the Lord in his personal forms. Anything that doesn't aim at transcendental realization of the Supreme Lord, whether it's fruitive work, empiric philosophy, is considered a waste of time. It's detached from the personality of Godhead, and therefore it has no value. In the material world, there's no actual value. There's no actual value because it has no substance. But the personality of Godhead is the actual substance. Vedyam vastava matra vastu shidana. Therefore, in the first canto, it said that in this book, Srimad Bhagavatam, the reality is distinguished from the illusion for everyone's benefit. If we're plugging our energy into illusion, we're going nowhere. But if we're connecting to the reality, then we're moving toward the absolute truth. So, atravastu shivadam. This is for everyone's welfare. So Narada Muni has explained unalloyed devotional service by his personal experience. Narada told the history, how he'd come to become the servant or assistant servant of the sages, the Bhakti Vedantas, while they were parked for the rainy season, how he was hearing them chant the glories of the Lord, and how it rubbed off on him, the nature of transcendental life, the attraction for hearing about Krishna, rubbed off on him. So he got an enthusiasm for devotional service. By progressive devotional activities, developing the intimacy between the Lord and the living entity. This is called bhakti, an intimate relationship. In the material world, everyone is looking for an intimate relationship. But the relationship is based on the body, which is external, based on the mind, which is external. So it's not actually, therefore it's not satisfying. People are looking for intimacy, people are looking for love, and then they're disappointed because it's superficial, and therefore it's negotiated politically, sometimes literally. You know, the king of France negotiates with the king of Bavaria, and matches fixed up. Otherwise, it's individual politics. People kind of make a deal and settle something up, and sometimes they break the deal also when their senses are not satisfied. And there's a certain amount of intimacy there, but the intimacy is superficial intimacy. It's not based on the true identity of the living being. So here's the most intimate relationship. Ishra sarvabhutanam hriday sarjana tishtati sarvasya chaham priti sarjana sannivishtam. The Lord is within the heart of everyone. He's more intimate than anyone. He knows. You know, even to our intimate friends, there's so many things. What is that, to reveal one's mind to others? But we don't reveal everything. We'd be too embarrassed. We reveal something. But Krishna knows everything. Everything that's within our heart, Krishna knows. Our good intentions, our difficulties, our challenges, our aspirations. Everything is known to Krishna. And in spite of all that, he remains our friend. Probably if we knew the dark side of everything that's in everyone's mind, we wouldn't be friends with anyone and no one would be friends with us. But Krishna, in spite of knowing all the junk that's in our hearts, he remains the well-wishing friend. Just as the physician, regardless of how diseased the patient is, remains the well-wishing friend of the... No, not just for her. He remains the well-wisher of the patient. So suridam. Suridam means the most good-hearted friend, the most intimate friend is Krishna. And not only the friend of, well, I like you, but I don't like you, or I can get along with you, but you're too much. Sarvabhutanam, the best friend of every living entity. So that intimate relationship is there between the Lord and every living being, and it only has to be revived. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. Love for Krishna is there within everyone's heart. Sadyuka Bhumai. And Shrabanadi Shuddha Chitte Kureya Yuvai. By hearing and chanting, it comes out. It's revived. It doesn't have to be pushed in. It's already there, and it only has to be uncovered. So Shravanadi, by hearing, by chanting, by remembering Krishna, that natural, intimate relationship is uncovered in different relationships called rasas, or transcendental tastes. Such devotional service is also executed in mixed forms, namely mixed with fruitive work or empirical philosophical speculation. That's karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, devotional service mixed with fruitive intentions, devotional service mixed with mental speculation, philosophical speculation about the absolute truth. But the goal is bhaktir ananyaya, pure devotional service. Anya abhilashita shunya, jnana karma adhyanavrita. Anukulyena krishna nushilana bhaktir uttama. To come to the stage of pure devotional service to Krishna without any motive, without any other intention, just out of love for Krishna. That's the pure position. Now the question which was raised by the great rishis headed by Shonaka regarding the confidential part of Sutta's achievement through the spiritual master is explained herein by the chanting of this hymn consisting of 33 letters. And the mantra is addressed to the four deities or the Lord with his plenary expansions. You know what plenary means? Plenary?
Not exactly.
I thought so. We all read it and none of us know what it means. So maybe it's worth looking at and know what it means, but we'll... Since we paid money and they gave us a dictionary, let's see what it says. Unqualified, absolute, 100%. Yeah. Crusaders were offered a plenary indulgence by the Pope. It means unconditional, 100%. No. Nothing unadulterated. Elsewhere I've seen the definition. It's from plenus, meaning full. Full expansions. Not just, partially empowered. The Shakti of Vaishnavatars are partially empowered incarnations. But the Vishnu forms are all plenary expansions of the Lord. It means it's the Lord himself, but manifested in a different form, which is as good as his original form, even though the original form remains the original. So the Lord with his plenary expansions. The central figure is Lord Sri Krishna, because the plenary portions are his aides de camp. Familiar with that one?
Yeah.
Okay. The most confidential part of the instruction is that one should always chant and remember the glories of the Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his different plenary portions, expanded as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. These expansions are the original deities for all other truths, namely either Vishnu Tattva or Shakti Tattvas. Notice that here we haven't immediately jumped to Radha and Krishna and these topics, but we're beginning with Krishna as the source of these Vaikuntha deities, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Because we have to understand who Krishna is. The Prakriti Sahajas take Krishna cheaply. And Krishna, and they have a sort of cheap estimate of Krishna and a high estimate of themselves. So they think that they can jump into Krishna Leela simply by imagining themselves to be there. But Krishna's not so cheap. He is the source of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. He is the source of so many Vaikuntha deities. He is the source of the Mahavishnu, from whom all the innumerable avatars expand in this material world. It's that Krishna who's playing in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj as a child, who's playing with the cowherd boys, who's dancing with the gopis, who's performing so many Vrindavan pastimes. That same personality of Godhead. So that we're meant to understand from the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada said that by going through the first 9 cantos, one will be able to capture the effect of the 10th canto. One will be prepared to appreciate how wonderful it is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performing these wonderful pastimes with his different devotees in different relationships. Someone as servant, someone as friend, someone in a parental relationship, someone as in conjugal relationship. All of these tastes are reciprocated. Yayatamam prapadyante tamstataya vipachamyaha. So all of these things are there with Lord Krishna. And Suta Goswami understood this secret by the grace of his spiritual master. Narad Muni understood these truths and imparted them to Vyasadeva. And we can also take advantage by seriously studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, I'll stop here and see what kind of questions you might have. If any. You have a question?
Maybe it's a stupid for me, but I wanted to. Why people are always fighting with Narayana and Krishna? Like, you know, some say just a few minutes back we read that there are all the plenary expansions of Narayana. Again, we are talking about Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Even in, to start with, why do we have this?
Because everybody has to argue.
So everyone has to argue.
Unless we're arguing, we're not happy. This is the nature of conditioned life, especially, that if there's nothing to argue about, we become despondent. We have to argue. But from another point of view, there are different teachings in some schools. Narayan is presented as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other schools, Krishna is presented as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami takes a kind of liberal or ecumenical stance in this regard. He said some call him Narayan, some call him Krishna. He's the same personality of Godhead, viewed from different angles of vision. Just as a jewel might be seen from different angles. Sometimes it appears blue, sometimes it appears red, sometimes it appears amber, but it's the same jewel. But finally, the personality of Godhead is one. So whether we call him Narayan, we call him Krishna, he's the same personality of Godhead. And Kaviraj Goswami doesn't show an inclination to argue over this point. But still he establishes from Srimad Bhagavatam, Ete Cham Sakala Pumsa Krishna Stu Padamana. All of the other forms are portions of the personality of Godhead. But too, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the personality of Godhead himself. This truth is established in Nectar of Devotion also by analysis of 64 qualities of the personality of Godhead, in which it's found that the living entity has 50 qualities.
50 qualities.
And the up to Brahma can have that many. Then finally we come up to
Shiva
is what, 58 or something like that?
I think
56,
and then,
58.
And then Vishnu.
Finally Vishnu has 60.
And
then Krishna has four more
transcendental
qualities. The sweetness found in Vaikuntha, in Goloka Vrindavan, is not to be found in Vaikuntha. This topic is elaborated in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that there's no difference between Narayan and Krishna. But Krishna shows some extraordinary qualities that even in his feature as Narayan are not manifest. His playing on his wonderful playing on his flute, his childhood pastimes. Exactly. His wonderfully attractive form. So these things are not seen even in Vaikuntha. And therefore, by this analysis, also, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī shows that Krishna is beyond all. But still, we are not going to fight Narayan, Krishna, just not Brahma Rudradi Daivata. The Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudradi Daivatai Samatvene Vavikshaita Vipashandi Vavikram. If someone thinks that Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and so many other deities are all on the same level as Krishna, then they're considered, or same level as Narayan, then they're considered Pashandi, atheists. If everyone is God, then what is the meaning of God? I was just seeing some item, there was some group, and they were meeting, and they decided that they were all, everyone was happy with everyone, because they decided that at the ultimate end, everything is impersonal, everything is one, so there's no arguing about everything. There's absolute oneness. Because ultimately, God has no form, God has no qualities, God has no name, so there's nothing to, no difference, we don't differ, because there's nothing to differ about, because there ain't no nothing. But Krishna is particular. Krishna is an individual person. He does have form, qualities, pastimes, and so on. And he appears in different forms, but not for the sake of creating warfare or dissension among his devotees. Therefore, the devotees of Krishna honor the devotees of Lord Narayan, the devotees of Lord Ram, the devotees of Nrisimhadeva, the devotees of Vamadeva. But the devotees of the demigods are missing the point. And the impersonalists are also very much missing the point. Something else? Yes.
So we are advised to absolve our mind in the thoughts of the Supreme Person. But there are days that our mind can be an overload, whether it is mundane questions or questions about philosophy or confusion in general. And sometimes it becomes difficult to absorb our mind in the thoughts of the Supreme Person, Krishna.
Avyasa yogi yuktena avyasena tukonteya vairagena chaturita. Krishna says it's definitely undoubtedly difficult to control the mind. Asamshayam mahabaho mano durnigraham chala. The mind is undoubtedly durnigraha, tough to control, and chalam, moving this way and that way. But abhyasena tu kamteya vairagena chaturita. It's possible, Srila Prabhupada says, by proper practice, suitable practice. What is that? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So, practice makes perfect. Practice means that we'll not always be on the same level of proficiency or enthusiasm in anything, whether you're practicing sports or you're practicing music or you're practicing anything else that needs practice. It's not that every day it's as good as every other day. Sometimes the music is flowing and we're feeling great. And we feel like, you know, just a short while and I'll be playing in the Philharmonic. Sometimes we feel like I'll never learn this. It all sounds like water dripping from the faucet. There's no hope. But practice means that I just continue. That if I continue with this practice, then gradually I'll get the hang of it. Gradually it will become, I'll become good at it. And the great pianists, the great musicians, they began with practice. Playing scales and doing routine stuff. But in the mature stage, they can sit down at the keyboard and do marvelous things and enjoy doing it. In the beginning, it's work. In the beginning, it may be work. But in the mature stage, it becomes full of joy and taste and capability. So, of course, chanting is very nice, but sometimes we also may feel that this is hard work. My mind wants to go here, my mind wants to go there. I'm trying to chant, but by the time I catch myself, my mind is already in the next county. But Krishna says, yato yato nishchalati manas chamchalamasti, you know? Wherever the mind goes, wherever it may go, because of its restless and unsteady nature, one has to bring it back. That means Krishna knows the nature of the mind, but he advises, just continue practicing. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And the association will help us. The association of the devotees will help us more. Because when we're not enthusiastic, the next man is enthusiastic. If the two of us are not enthusiastic, the third man is enthusiastic. If none of us are enthusiastic, still, but we come together, start a kirtan, and we become enthusiastic. So association is also important. Mm-hmm.
Gives us a lot of spiritual variety, but Krishna is the sweetest of them all. So, is he trying to draw us towards him, or does it matter to him if we're drawn to any of the forms?
Does it matter to him if we're drawn toward any other form? Interesting question. Krishna's not envious of himself. So he reciprocates. There are those who are devoted to Lord Ramchandra. So it's not that the Lord says, "Oh, too bad, you know, anyway, I'll reciprocate with you." No, he full-heartedly reciprocates with devotees like Hanuman and so many others. So that's available. Someone has a taste for this relationship, that relationship, and the Lord reciprocates with all of them. Every one of them is perfect. In Vaikuntha, the devotees are perfect, and the Lord perfectly reciprocates. But in Goloka Vrindavan, they're more perfect, or most perfect. But Krishna is pleased to reciprocate with devotees in all different moods. It's not that he's playing with the cowherd boys, but he's kind of thinking, well, too bad you guys didn't make it. You know, the real thing is conjugal ras, but vruja, ujvala ras. You guys didn't make it, but anyway, I'll play with you. Yashoda Ma couldn't quite make the grade, but anyway. No. All of these devotees are brilliantly perfect. And Krishna perfectly reciprocates with their love in every taste. Someone has this taste, someone has that taste. And Krishna is the enjoyer of all those tastes. He enjoys the love given with respect. He enjoys the love given in a serving relationship. He enjoys the love of his friends. And that also in two levels. The respectful friends like Arjuna and the freely exchanging friends like Sudam, Sridham. But Krishna enjoys both levels of friendship. He enjoys the parental relationship. He enjoys the conjugal relationship. That also with the married wives, with the gopis. Even in the chivalrous relationship, he enjoys exchanging with Bhishma Dev. In chivalry. So Krishna's reciprocal. Yeyatamam prapadyante. And on the absolute platform, all the relationships are equally good. There's no higher and lower. From another angle of vision, there's hierarchy or there's a gradation. But that's only from one angle of vision. From another angle of vision, if Krishna is reciprocating with the devotee, then that's perfect. From both sides.
I was curious how we can express our practice of worship of these deeds not as being not dogmatic. Like in some of the things we do, the left hand is unclean, right hand is clean, you keep your pointer finger outside of your bead bag. In various practices that we express our love and devotion, a lot of these things seem difficult to explain. Because intrinsic, like I wash my hands with soap or whatever, it seems like it's clean now. Or, you know,
I mean, we have a certain idea of cleanliness. But the standard of deity worship is radical cleanliness. Pavitram idam uttama. Krishna is the supreme pure. So if we want to associate with Krishna, we have to be pure. So from one point of view, the real thing is our heart has to be pure. But from another point of view, to impress upon us, so the hands have to be pure, everything has to be pure devotee, actually pure devotee, he can do anything. You know, he doesn't have to follow any of the rules and regulations. But still they do. Raghava Pandit, there was some offering of coconuts, and because some dust, the coconuts were procured from a very different, distant place with great trouble. But then the servant was holding onto the coconuts and he came in and he touched the top of the doorway where the dust had flown up from his feet. Was it Raghava Pandit? Yeah. He threw out his coconut, unofferable. It means Krishna is so pure, we have to offer him the best. Best.
But it just seems
the
like
two go together. Even in the Jewish religion, there's some prayer, pure hands and a clean heart. In the Vedic mantra, apaya abhyantara shuchi, internally and externally clear, clean. Yes.
But it seems like the way of expressing this cleanliness kind of is a random pick, you know, the pointer finger goes out of the bead bag, not the middle finger or the ring finger, or just certain things just seem so.
Actually, it doesn't matter. Just like in one country, drive on the right. Mm. Another country, drive on the left. another country do this, another country do that. The main thing is to follow the principles. By following the principles, you make unobstructed progress.
Mm-hmm.
Or you go to school. So at Harvard, they teach you the course this way. At Yale, they teach you the course that way. So if you're going to Harvard, you say, but at Yale, they're doing it that way. But at Yale, they're reading this book. No, you follow the course here, and you'll get to the, you'll get your degree, you'll get your education, you'll be a good lawyer, whatever it may be. And you go to Yale also, all of, in one sense, it's a waste of time comparing this one, that one. One has to sign up at one school or another and follow the principles. And the only consideration is, are you developing your love? If I follow all the right things and I, you know, throw the right number of drops of water over the right shoulder, the left shoulder, and spin around three times and do all that kind of stuff, and I don't develop my love for Krishna, then I'm wasting my time. And that's also, what is that, tapasa, tata, kim? We'll find that. Aradito. Buddy. And aradito. No?
I don't know.
Tapasa tata kim. Okay. The junior one has failed.
Absolutely true, and to the center. Ultimately, at the end, it is the pure love, and it's a clear example that Mahabharata, Vidura, when he invites Krishna, and he sat him on the asana, and he knew the palahara and everything.
I'm sorry, you can't talk to a man who's got his face in his computer. it doesn't work. We have to do one thing at a time. Aradito yadi haris tapasa tata kim. Naradito yadi haris tapasa tata kim. Antarbahir yadi haris tapasa tata kim. Nantarbahir yadi haris tapasa tata kim. If one is worshipping Lord Hari, what is the use of performing extraneous penances? And if one is not worshipping Lord Hari, no such penances will save one. If one can understand that Lord Hari is all-pervading within and without, what's the need of performing penances? And if one is not able to understand that Hari is all-pervading, all the penances are useless. Aradito yadi hari tapasatata. If one is worshipping Krishna, what's the need of all these penances? And if one's not worshipping Krishna, what's the use of all these penances? In that way. Looks like I'm seeing the missing
page. But we follow them just because somehow it's been established in that way, and so as part of the process then.
Yeah, hold on a second. Okay. Now, you were saying?
Well, just that, so because we've been put into this process, although these matters aren't necessarily of utmost importance, we follow them just because it's...
They'll work. Just as someone gives the... Some teacher gives one scale to practice, another teacher gives another scale to practice. The main thing is practice your scales.
So it's the austerity itself of...
Yeah, it's called details. In Nectar of Devotion, it's called details. One spiritual master gives some instruction this way, another spiritual master says do it that way. Main thing is to follow the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master for the sake of pleasing Guru and Krishna.
And it's not so important to understand the exact reason.
There's some reason one can try to understand, but it's not so important. Like, there's a place in... When Nectar of Devotion was first published, there's an injunction that one should not wear blue or red before the deity.
Radharani wears those colors.
So what is that? Let's find it, in fact. Here, this is typical. After Nectar of Devotion came out, because it says one of the offenses is to wear blue or red in front of the deity. And everyone was asking Prabhupada, why blue or red? Shilavati, I understand that it is an offense to wear red or blue in the Krishna temple. Why is this true? Prabhupada, what is that? Devotee, she says that it's an offense to wear red or blue in the temple. Prabhupada, blue? Devotee, red or blue? She wants to know why this is. I do not follow. Why is it an offense to wear red or blue clothing in the Krishna temple? That's what she thinks. Prabhupada, laughs. Because it is red and blue. Is that all right? And Prabhupada says, you see, you have to accept the Vedic injunction as it is. There is some meaning which may not be explained immediately, but because it is so enjoined, we have to accept it. Just like the conch shell. The conch shell is the bone of an animal. Now in the Vedas it said if you touch the bone of an animal or human being, you have to take bath immediately to purify yourself. Now this conch shell is also a bone of an animal. Now it's kept in the deity's room. Now if you say the bone of an animal is impure, how is it that it's kept in the deity's room? So actually it's being done. Why is it being done? Because it's the injunction of the Vedas. Similarly, all such injunctions we have to accept. But there's meaning. There is meaning. And that may not be understood immediately. That doesn't matter. So if instead of red garment, if you take this saffron, what is the harm to you? So you should accept this injunction. At one point I heard Prabhupada got so exasperated with everyone asking why blue and red, he told Kirtananda Swami to buy some red cloth, blue cloth, dress up and go in front of the deities. There may be folklore, but I heard that story a long time ago.
So when somebody, when somebody asks on the streets or something, why do you put your pointer finger out of your bead bag? What would be a proper way to respond without...
In case I want to make a point.
That's
okay. Sometimes, you know, it appears, you know, it's very difficult to achieve Krishna. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and the prayer that when he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he distributed that difficult things without asking any practice.
Practically, it's free.
Yeah, it's free.
If you consider the actual price, you know, following all the Vedic injunctions and so many things, no one could pay. So we're just asked, chant Hare Krishna, follow four rules. That's practically free. Practically free. Not very. Practically, it's a giveaway.
Yeah. Yeah, the great point what you mentioned is even in Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, the end Krishna is asking or demanding you
surrender.
Sarva dharman parityaja. Unless until you surrender, I won't. So he's, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is not asking anything, he is giving it free. So
just
no, no, yeah. So no rule there. So you chant, you surrender.
Very
not
good.
You surrender and you chant. So.
Yeah, very good, thank you. Yes?
Since you're here, can you tell us a little bit about your experience with Srila Prabhupada's books? Because I'm really curious.
Yeah, I was just going to tell you about my experience with Prabhupada's books. Here's the latest books. We've started BBT in Africa, and these are some of the books that we're publishing. These two are in Zulu and Khonsa, Beyond Birth and Death. This is Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. On the Way to Krishna in Zulu, Khonsa, and Swana, which is spoken in Botswana, north of South Africa. We've got Mauritius Creole in here, and in this way, things are going on. We're trying to publish more and more books in African languages and distribute. We've got books in production in Swahili and Sotho, and in this way. And along with those, we're publishing pamphlets so that we can reach people easily and inexpensively. These, again, are Zulu and Khoisa and French. The three biggest languages in Africa are French, English, and Arabic. Arabic, I think, is number one. So, yeah? Right. Mm-hmm. You know something about Arabic? Are you studying Arabic?
No.
Oh,
but
sure.
About Africa.
Okay. And this is also... This is Chinese, because in Africa these days, so many Chinese people are there. Yeah, so big influx of Chinese people. So we're publishing in Chinese. The devotees who's in charge of the program came up with this format, because that pamphlet gives you one pamphlet out of one page. This format gives you two pamphlets out of a page. So you don't need a lot of text. And give them out. So our pamphlet program is something we're putting a lot of energy into. We have a very active library program. Devotees are putting books in African libraries where they're very much appreciated, because the budget for your typical African library is next to nothing. We started a lecture series, an annual Bhaktivedanta Swami lecture at Wits University in Johannesburg, a very leading university, to establish Srila Prabhupada's reputation. So that will be an annual function. And in this way, we're trying to increase the distribution, publishing and distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada said, as many books, in as many languages. So our whole movement is built on kirtan, prasadam, dancing, and philosophy. So the books are there, and we're trying to increase. For those also interested in editorial issues, a especially the editing of Bhagavad Gita as it is for the second edition. We've just published the explanation of all the editing done in the purports in the eighth chapter. The first seven chapters were already there. Eighth chapter is now online at bbtedit.com/changes. So if you have questions about what was done and why, you can see the actual editing that was done, and you can see images of the manuscripts from which the that form the basis for the editing, and you can decide for yourself what you think. And the eighth chapter, I can say, is what's known in the trade as a humdinger. Something else? Mm-hmm.
Many of the students, young people who come to the Bhakti House are fairly new, 3 or 4 years.
3 or 4 years?
Fairly new? Well, I mean, yeah, but when you're in college, we only have Sundays. So it's not like you're living in a temple.
Okay, so fairly new that way.
Yeah, fairly new that way. But anyway, and they all know their story of what brought them to this philosophy of Prabhupada. And I thought it would be interesting, since you joined at 26 Second Avenue and very young in the very beginning, if you would
tell us
of how you found the devotees and what...
Well, that's a long story, and I'm finishing up a book, which I have to talk to you about a little bit. And in the book, it begins with that story.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, I don't want to, kill the sales by telling you the story too early.
Well, you were how old were you?
I was 19 when I first came. First found out about the devotees somewhat earlier, and then joined when I was 19. Sorry to keep you on tenterhooks there.
Maharaj, if you like, we can continue with question and answers. Otherwise, we can move forward to some light prasadam.
Shall we move forward to some light prasadam? Okay. Shall we chant Hare Krishna for a couple minutes, and then we can move forward to some light prasadam?
Okay.
Probably takes a couple minutes to get the light prasadam together.